paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that bothers you. If you'd like to call in today, join us. Give us a call. Our number here is 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air in coming weeks. Look us up on the web while you're there at www.hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. Or Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. And you can find us there, all the latest things that are going on. And if you missed something on the eye show, often we will have tweeted it or Facebooked it. So check us out online. During the next hour, we're going to discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ. We'll have a lot of fun today. And sometimes there are even a few surprises. Now remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I'll often recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor the program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Okay, well, I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about some things that have come up in the office over the past week or so. And one of the things that people commonly ask about is using computers. They find when they use computers for a long period of time that they become fatigued. Their eyes get tired. Their vision sometimes gets a little blurry. And we refer to the constellation of symptoms that people get related to their vision and to their overall health when they're using computers as computer vision syndrome. And computer vision syndrome is commonly associated with the long use of computers during the course of the day, particularly for people who have to work with computers, who have computers at their work and they're staring at it all day, or who are sitting for many hours in front of the internet and looking at their computer. All of these things, sitting and staring at the computer, are associated with a number of problems, both eye and vision problems, as well as problems with the overall tiredness and fatigue of other parts of the body as well. So basically, what you have to understand is that sitting at a computer is a very unusual, or let's see, abnormal thing for our bodies to be doing. First of all, you're in one position and you're not moving. Our bodies, as anyone who listens to the program before this one, called the Moving Body Program, knows that the body is supposed to be moving. That's what our bodies are designed for. They're not designed for sitting or lying or staying in one place. And so when our bodies are not moving, the tendency is for the muscles to cramp up a little bit, to become tired and fatigued from sitting in the same position for an extended period of time. So that's the first problem, sitting at a computer. The second problem is we're using our eyes in a way that our eyes were not really designed to use them. You're keeping your eyes wide open, staring at a screen, and that screen is a constant source of interest for you so that you don't blink very often, because when we're looking at something that's interesting, we don't blink our eyes very often. And when you're staring at that screen, you're holding your head in the same position for an extended period of time, and you're the surface of your eyes is more prone to evaporation because your eyes are wider open, you're not blinking as much, and so moisture evaporates quickly from the surface of the eyes. So people who sit in front of a computer have problems with dryness of the surface of the eyes, they have problems with irritation of their eyes, they have problems with headaches, and eye strain, feeling that they refer to as eye strain. So we're going to talk about why some of those things happen and what you can do about it in just a minute. But before we do, I want to go to the telephone. We have George standing by in Kaneohe. Hi, George. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm looking at the TV, at the computer screen, and I have to use 150 power glasses. And then when I read, I have to use 250. It's very, very, irritating that I have to have two pair of glasses. Is there anything that can be done?
You can get a pair of glasses that incorporates a multifocal lens. Where when we once we're over the age of 45 or so, we lose the ability for our eyes to focus distance and near. So you can, with glasses, you can bring things into focus in the distance, like when you're driving, or maybe you see well driving without glasses, middle range, which is where you see the computer, or near. So there's really three points at which we commonly see well or need to see well in order to function in today's society. So what many people choose to do is they get a pair of glasses that corrects all three of those points in one set of glasses. Now, traditionally, people wore bifocals, which had two points of focus, one in the distance and one for reading. But as computers became more popular, people found they needed to see in the mid-range, too, which wasn't reading distance and it wasn't distance. So they transitioned to a trifocal, three focal points. This was a little bit awkward. Some people still wear trifocals, but they're pretty unusual because they're a little hard to get used to. Instead, most people opt for a pair of glasses that corrects distance, mid-range, and near, called a progressive lens.
All right, well, I'll come and see you in a pair of those.
Okay, well, that's probably your best option. Okay, thanks for the call. So the computer, so as we were talking about computers and computer screens and the types of problems they cause in your eyes. The other one that George very nicely brought up for us is that the focus or the focal point for the computer is different than the focal point for reading. So many people who use the computer find that they can't use their normal reading glasses to be able to see up close or to read. And they also can't find the computer, they can't find the right distance for their computer to be able to see clearly without glasses. And so they need both the best focus, and also they need to take into account that they're sitting in an awkward position, straining their eyes in a way that is a little bit unusual. So I'm not saying don't use the computer. It's fine to use the computer. It doesn't harm your eyes to use the computer, but it is something that does require some adaptation. So basically what you need to do is you need to make sure that when you're using the computer, first of all, you're seated comfortably. You want the computer screen to be a little bit below your eye level. You don't want to be looking up at the computer screen, because if you're looking up, then that means that your eyes are more wide open than they normally would be. And when your eyes are more wide open, that means that your eyes are more subject to drying. And drying is one of the big problems that people who use the computer have with their eyes. The surface of the eye gets dry. That causes irritation. That causes blurred vision. That causes a scratchy, sandy sensation and makes the overall eyes feel strained or tired. So try to keep the computer screen a little bit below eye level so that your eyelids come down a little bit. If you ever watch someone who reads, you notice that as they look straight ahead, their eyelids are open, wide open. As they look down to read, the eyelids come down. They droop down a little bit in order to help protect the eyes from drying as much when you're looking down or when you're reading. And so less of the eye is exposed, so the eyes don't dry quite as much. Looking at the computer, we're looking up more because the screen's in front of us, so the eyes are more wide open. Same for TV as well. And so you're actually more likely to get a dryness at the surface of the eye when you're looking at the TV or at the computer than you are when you're reading. So the other thing is that the computer holds our interest or attention for an extended period of time, and that keeps us from blinking as much. So we're not blinking as much during the use of the computer, and so the surface of the eye dries out a little bit more, more off more frequently or a little bit quicker, and so your eyes get dry. So a couple of points when you're using the computer, a few things you can do. Number one, keep the computer screen at a proper distance and a proper proper elevation, so it's not too high, it's not making you look up and crane your neck. Take a rest break every few minutes, so there's a 20-20-20 rule. Every 20 minutes, spend 20 seconds looking away and blinking your eyes and moving your body around for about 20 seconds, and then do that every 20 minutes. I forget what the other 20 is. So 20, let's say 20-20. Every 20 seconds, take a 20 minutes, take a 20-second break. And then wear the right glasses so that you're in good focus for the computer screen. And then third, you can make sure to use some moisture drops or tear drops in your eyes if your eyes do get dry or irritated during the course of that time. All right. Well, we had a caller from Kauai. We had Scott, but he's no longer on the line. So we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about computers, about iNews, and we'll take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Here we are in the second segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you have a question for us, we do have phone lines open here. 521-8383 is the number to call to reach us here at KHVH if you're listening to us Saturday morning. You can also listen to our podcasts. If you want to subscribe to a podcast of the Hawaiian Eye Show, go to the Hawaiian Eye website, HawaiianEye.com, and go ahead and follow the instructions, click on the radio show button, and then follow the instructions on subscribing to our podcast, and that should get you regular deliveries of the Hawaiian Eye Show. Or if you just want to listen to a past program, you can catch it streaming live on our website, HawaiianEye.com, along with lots of other interesting information about eyes, eye care, and eye news. You also have the option to follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center. Okay, so we have some news stories here. We have a story here about eye drops for wet macular degeneration. It says here, eye drops for wet macular degeneration clear the safety hurdle. It says, with positive results from a preclinical safety study in Dutch belted rabbits and fast-track design from the Food and Drug Administration, squalamine eye drops may soon offer patients a less invasive therapy for wet age-related macular degeneration. It says here, in a 26-week study, rabbits received either squalamine eye drops or placebo eye drops twice a day in both eyes. Squalamine did not build up with long-term administration, suggesting a reduced risk for systemic side effects. Researchers also reported no adverse ocular toxicity, such as irritation, redness, swelling, or discharge, or signs of lens clouding or cataracts, corneal opacities, deposits, increases, or increases in pressure in the eye. The company news release followed closely a poster at the May research Envision meeting presenting results from dosing rabbits over the course of 14 days. The study showed good tolerability with no adverse effects in rabbits, of course. The drug is supposed to reach the posterior segment of the eye without interfering with the anterior segment of the front part of the eye, and according to one of the researchers. So the drug is based on a medicine that was developed in the 1990s in which it was found to have what we call anti-angiogenic properties. The squalamine has potential usefulness beyond the spectrum, that of a broad spectrum antibiotic. So it says it blocks not only the proliferation of new abnormal blood vessels, but also the growth of fibrous scar tissue that accompanies neovascularization. This scarring contributes to retinal injury and subsequent vision loss. So it's previously tested in 250 humans in an intravenous formulation for wet macular degeneration. Although it demonstrated biological effectiveness and improved vision, the development program was suspended due to commercial challenges. The new program offers the compound in an eye drop form that can be dosed once or twice a day. If it's found to be effective and safe in humans, it might have the potential to substantially change the landscape for treating the condition. Of course, there's a cautionary note that the eye drops can come with their own set of challenges, including tolerance of medication and compliance, or patients paying attention to how they should be using the medication. So, interesting, because the current best treatment for wet macular degeneration is to give injections into the eye every 30 days. And so as a result, because that those injections are really kind of annoying for the patient to not only to have to go into the doctor's office once a month, but also to have an injection in the eye, this is not the ideal treatment for this. And many retina doctors, as well as many macular degeneration patients, wish there were another solution to take care of the same type of problem. And so if this could be done in an eye drop form versus an injection into the eye, this would be a huge benefit both to patients and to doctors. It would significantly reduce the backlog in doctors' offices. Retina doctors now are overwhelmed with these numbers of injections that they need to do in many cases. And so not having to do the injections and having an eye drop to be able to use for a similar effect would certainly be a big advantage. We have an article here about glaucoma. It says fruits and vegetables may lower the risk for glaucoma. The article goes on to state, a cross-sectional research study conducted in conjunction with the Society of Osteoporotic Fractures Research Group has yielded valuable insights into the risk of glaucoma among older African-American women. Eating fruits and vegetables that are high or rich in vitamin A and vitamin C and carotenoids is associated with lower rates of glaucoma, according to the report. No doubt there are other as yet unknown factors involved, supporting the recommendation that patients eat more fruits and vegetables, specifically oranges, peaches, kale, and collard greens, said Ann Coleman, MD, study co-author and professor of ophthalmology in UCLA in California. At the study, disc photographs of the optic nerve, and visual field tests were obtained from 662 African-American participants in the study of osteoporotic fractures. If a block food frequency questionnaire was used to assess food consumption, relationships between glaucoma and summaries of fruit and vegetable consumption were evaluated using logistic regression models. Glaucoma was diagnosed in at least one eye of 13% of study subjects. Participants who ate three or more servings per day of fruits and or vegetables or fruit juices were 79% less likely to have glaucoma than participants who ate less than one serving a day. So that's a pretty significant finding. 79% less likely to have glaucoma if you ate three servings or more of fruits, vegetables, or fruit juices versus people who ate less than one serving per day. Women who consumed more than two servings per week of fresh oranges and peaches had lower odds of glaucoma than those who had less than one serving. Okay, so even having a couple of servings a week gave you a protective effect. As for vegetables, more than one weekly serving of collard greens or kale was associated with 57% lower odds of glaucoma compared with one serving or less per month. As a scientist, I'd like confirming evidence to show that these foods are beneficial, such as a prospective study showing similar results. But as a clinician, I'm pleased to have something to offer patients and their families so that they can play a more active role in their own care, said Dr. Coleman. So there you go. Fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits, green vegetables may be helpful even in the people in preventing glaucoma, which of course is a condition that you'd like to prevent because glaucoma can be a blinding eye disease. So let's see. We have some more news articles here. We also have open phone lines. If you want to give us a call, now's a good time to call. 521-8383 is the number to call here on Oahu. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, you can call us toll-free at the Hawaiian Eye Show. It's 1-888-565-8383. And you're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. We have an article here about statins, which is the group of medications used to treat high cholesterol, and the risk of glaucoma. Again, a glaucoma article here. It says, using data from a national healthcare claims database, investigators analyzed the relationship between statin use and the risk of developing open-angle glaucoma in people with high cholesterol, age 60 or older. After adjusting for other factors, treated patients were shown to have a decreased risk of developing glaucoma, of progressing from glaucoma suspect to actual glaucoma, and of requiring pressure-lowering medications or glaucoma treatment. Patients prescribed statins for 1 year had a 5% decreased risk, while those prescribed statins for 2 years had a 9% decreased risk. So, significantly, moderately reduced risk for glaucoma in people who are taking these cholesterol-lowering medications. So the question is there something about the medications that innately reduces the risk for glaucoma, or is it that glaucoma is more likely for whatever reason in people who have high cholesterol, and by lowering the cholesterol, we're reducing the risk for glaucoma? There is a lot of evidence that these statin medications, perhaps through their effect in lowering cholesterol, do have a significant beneficial effect on health for people whose cholesterol is high to start with or whose lipid profile is unfavorable. So they do seem to be good drugs in many ways, although like any medications, do have potential side effects. We have another story here about diabetes and smoking, both being linked to cataracts. Cataract, of course, the leading cause of blindness worldwide. In the United States, cataracts are treated early in most cases, preventing serious damage or serious effect on the vision due to cataract. Cataract generally is a clouding of the lens of the eye. It's treated through a surgical procedure to help reduce the effect of cataract and improve the vision. The study here says, this analysis of data from the Los Angeles Latino Eye Study shows that a better management of diabetes and not smoking may lower the risk of developing nuclear, cortical, and posterior subcapsular lens opacities or cataracts. Independent baseline risk factors were older age, smoking, diabetes. Independent risk factors for other types of lens cloudiness were also older age and diabetes at baseline. So this certainly is something that we can take home the message that if you have diabetes, if you're a smoker, then your risk for cataract is higher. This is not unexpected. This is something that we've actually been aware of to some degree for a while, that people with diabetes are more likely to develop cataracts and that people who smoke are more likely to develop cataracts because smoking causes oxidative damage to the body's tissues, and oxidative damage is one of the things that causes a cataract. Okay, last news story for now before we take our break for the national news is that there's a high rate of sleep apnea among patients with diabetic macular edema. It says here, home studies, sleep studies were performed on 80 patients with clinically significant diabetic macular edema. This is a condition that occurs in people with diabetes that affects or blurs the central vision over time. It can be treated, but it is more prevalent in certain diabetics, certain patients who have diabetes affecting the eyes, and less common in others. And it says that these 80 patients were tested to figure out the prevalence of sleep disordered breathing among these people with macular edema. And although there was a high prevalence of sleep disordered breathing in this population, there was no significant relationship between the degree of macular thickness and the severity of sleep disordered breathing. While more studies required to determine whether the sleep disordered breathing improves macular edema or other features of diabetic retinopathy, the authors do suggest that patients consider referring these patients for screening, that physicians might want to have these patients screened for sleep disorders as sleep breathing disorders if they do develop this type of macular edema, this type of problem related to their diabetic condition inside the eyes. We're going to talk a little bit more about diabetes and how it affects the inside of the eyes when we get back from this break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
Mostly sunny conditions, beautiful Saturday morning, October 27th. I'm Stephen Storm, and here's what's happening. Florida appears to be in the clear, but much of the rest of the East Coast is expected to get walloped by Hurricane Sandy. The National Hurricane Center has canceled all tropical storm watches and warnings for Florida as Sandy makes its way northward. The hurricane has top winds of 75 miles per hour, but forecasters say the storm's formal category won't matter much. Sandy's winds reach as far as 450 from its center, and the storm surge could reach 8 feet into some low-lying areas. Well, the San Francisco Giants and Detroit Tigers return to the field tonight as the World Series shifts to Detroit for Game 3 of the best-of-seven set. The Giants took the first two games at home this week and sit two more wins away from their second World Series championship in 3 years. Ryan Vogelsong will take the mound for the Giants against Tigers starter Anibal Sanchez. Here at home, Honolulu police are investigating a fatal pedestrian accident at the Waikele Shopping Center, which sent a 61-year-old woman to the hospital in critical condition yesterday morning after she was struck by a Hummer in a marked crosswalk. The woman was taken to Palimomi Medical Center, where she died. Now, the driver of the Hummer is a 40-year-old woman from Waipahu. Police say speed and alcohol were not factors in the crash. This is Oahu's 50th traffic fatality for 2012, compared to 46 at the same time last year. Well, you hunters on the Big Island, good news, you're able to shoot axis deer as a way to control its population on the island. The Board of Land and Natural Resources approved a declaration that allows licensed hunters to shoot axis deer without a special permit. There will also be no restrictions for season or bag limit. Axis deer are considered a threat to agriculture, native plants, as well as wildlife. Well, we're on tap for a high surf again, building 15 to 20 feet. The tourists will love it. The National Weather Service has issued a high surf advisory until 6 tonight. And island weather, mostly sunny for the rest of today. For tomorrow, sunny conditions. I'm Stephen Storm.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for...
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. This is the Hawaiian Eye Show. We're talking about eyes. It's now Saturday morning. If you have something you'd like to talk to us about, you can give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, there is a toll-free number, so grab a pencil, write it down in case you think of something later. It's 1-888-565-8383, 521-8383 here on Oahu. So if you want to ask us a question about eyes, something that is bothering your eyes, or someone you know has had some information about their eyes that you want to learn more about, then go ahead and give us a call. And we're talking a little bit about diabetes and how that affects the eyes. And it is something that is a very common problem. And there are a lot of people out there with diabetes who have potentially very serious problems that affect their eyes. As a matter of fact, in the United States today, diabetes is in fact the leading cause of preventable blindness. So if you have diabetes, it's critical to get your eyes checked on a regular basis, because the key is preventable blindness. If you have diabetes and you develop problems inside the eyes related to the diabetes, then often treatments can be done to help prevent more serious effects on the eyes related to the diabetes. And so if you are diabetic, or you have someone you know who is diabetic, and you would be doing them a big favor, or doing yourself a big favor, by making sure you get your eyes checked about once a year. Well, a lot of the primary care doctors now are pretty well attuned to this issue, and they are recommending for their patients, they are recommending eye checkups on a regular basis. So this is something that we like to do about once a year, or more frequently if there are problems related to the eyes. Okay, we're going to run to the phones now. So we've got Mike standing by in Honolulu. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hi, doctor. My question is, I've been using eye drops for my bloodshot eyes for 5 years. I also have pterygium. Basically, I have also dry eye. What's the long-term effect of using off-the-counter eye drops?
So there are a lot of different drops that you can buy over the counter. There are artificial tear drops, and there are anti-redness drops, and there are allergy drops. So do you have a name specifically of the drop that you're using?
Nafcon.
Nafcon, okay. Nafcon is what's called an antihistamine and a decongestant drop, if it's Nafcon A. It's in the same class of drugs as Ofcon A, and there's another, Vasocon A, I think, is similar. These drops are designed to help reduce allergy symptoms, but they also reduce redness in the eye by constricting blood vessels in the eyes. What happens if you use those a lot is that your eyes kind of become accustomed to them, and not only that, but the eyes develop a kind of an opposite reaction, where instead of making the eyes more white, it actually makes the eyes more red over time. So they actually can have an effect opposite to what you're looking for. They often make the eyes white for the first little while after you put the drops in, and then when the redness comes back, it comes back more significant. This is because the blood vessels in the eyes, which are what cause the redness, become more dilated, because the drop is causing the muscles in the eye, in the vessels, to fatigue, and so the vessels become more open or more dilated, and that makes the eyes look a little bit more red. So I definitely wouldn't recommend using those drops on a regular and consistent basis. They're fine from time to time to make the eyes less red, but using them every day, several times a day, is going to make your eyes probably look more red over time. So I'd try to stop those instead. What I'd recommend is just use some lubricating drops, or some tear drops in your eyes that are artificial tear drops. All they contain is a lubricant, no medicine to constrict the blood vessels. And if the eyes are dry, and that's part of the reason the eyes are red, over time, over a week or two, you'll notice that the eyes gradually get a little bit less red if you're using the tear drops 3 or 4 times a day. And from time to time, if you're going out for the evening, if you want to use the decongestant drops to reduce the redness, that's okay. And the other thing is that if you have pterygium, which is a growth on the surface of the eye, it's a vascular growth. It's a growth with blood vessels, so it naturally makes the eye look red. If that pterygium is irritating or causing you trouble or growing, that can be removed surgically, and that's something you could see an eye specialist about, an ophthalmologist, a medical eye doctor, about the issues associated with removing that, whether it's recommended. So hope that kind of answers your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Aloha. So redness of the eyes is a common problem. Many people are concerned because they're walking around with red eyes all the time. Other people develop red eyes on a short period of time and wonder what causes that red eye. So there are a number of things that can cause a red eye. So let's talk about more long-term causes of red eyes first. So probably one of the common forms here, things here in Hawaii that causes red eyes, is what the last caller was talking about, pterygium. Pterygium is a growth on the surface of the eye that's related to sun damage over the years. over a number of years of sun hitting the surface of your eyes, the eyes go through some changes where there's a thickening or a scarring that occurs on the parts of the eyes that are exposed to the ultraviolet light from the sun. So for people who are getting some discoloration or thickening of the inside or outside part of the eye, the white of the eye, we usually recommend that they wear ultraviolet blocking sunglasses anytime they're outdoors. Of course, this is important for everyone wearing the UV blocking sunglasses because the UV light from the sun can cause damage to a number of structures inside the eye. But for people who spend a lot of time out on the water, like surfers and boaters, sometimes they can't really be wearing the sunglasses all the time, fishermen, surfers, so forth. And so often they develop these pterygia, the growths on the surface of the eye, that cause redness and sometimes irritation as the growth progresses or develops. These growths have a lot of blood vessels in them, so as these blood vessels become enlarged, and that makes the surface of the eye look red. The other causes of a chronic red eye are if you have an allergy and the allergy is affecting the eyes. Sometimes these allergies last over a long period of time and they cause a chronic redness of the eyes. They can also cause itching of the eyes and irritation. And many people who have allergies do notice that their eyes are red, watery, and irritated. Allergies tend to come and go. They depend a little bit on what's in the environment at any given time. And typically allergies come from things that are in the air, like pollen. Pollen in the air in certain seasons, particularly spring and fall, tend to make allergies worse. And if the allergies are just in the eyes and not affecting the nose and so forth, we generally recommend just eye drops for those and not the systemic medications, not anti-allergy pills, because the anti-allergy pills can actually make the eyes feel a little bit worse. They can cause some dryness of the eyes that makes the symptoms a little bit worse from the allergies and the redness and so forth. Dryness of the eyes by itself can also cause redness of the eyes. Many people's eyes as they get older don't make the same composition tears that they used to. The tear film changes. It becomes somewhat irregular. It evaporates more quickly. It becomes less soothing and coating to the surface of the eye. And this can lead to redness of the eyes. It can also lead to irritation, scratchiness, and even intermittent blurring of the vision due to an irregular tear film preventing you from seeing as well. So there are a few things that can cause a long-term redness of the eyes. And people whose eyes are red chronically. Now, once in a while, I run into someone in the office who has just chronic red eyes, and their eyes are just more red than the average person, just for no reason that we can really figure out. So we look at them, their eyes aren't really that dry, they don't have allergies, they don't have pterygium, they don't have problems that would lead to the redness of the eyes, but no matter what they do, day in and day out, using drops, whatever else, their eyes are red. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't feel irritated or uncomfortable. Just red eyes. Sometimes medications can cause that. Certain eye drops that we prescribe cause the eyes to look more red for glaucoma and for other conditions. But this is unusual. You have to be using the eye drops for that to be the case. But once in a while, as I said, some people just have this redness of the eyes and we never really can figure out why. And I think that's just an individual variation. And in some people, the blood vessels just tend to be a little bit thicker, a little bit more dilated. And that leads to the eyes being somewhat more red. And so these kind of chronic red eyes are something that's very difficult to deal with because people are very unhappy. They say, you know, my eyes have been red for years and years and years. Everyone looks at me. They think I'm stoned. They think I'm drunk. They, you know, my eyes are red. But there's not much that we can really offer them to help that redness get that much better. So that's, but many times there are things that we can do, and often the temporary redness reducing with the decongestant drops, antihistamine decongestant drops like Nafcon A, Opcon A, Vasocon A, or Visine can help to reduce the redness temporarily. If you need to look good for an interview, or you know you're going out in the evening and you want to look good for your significant other or a new date that you're meeting, sometimes those anti-redness drops can be helpful for the short term. We're going to go to the phones. We had Daryl standing by. Daryl, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sorry, I hit the wrong button there. All right, go ahead. You're on the air.
I have a situation I've had the last couple of years where light in the morning really bothers my eyes. Like, for example, you know, you get up and the Hawaiian light's bright in the morning, coming up low angles, reflecting off windows. Or I'm a teacher, I go into the classroom, the fluorescent lights and the fans are going, and then I notice my eyes just start to maybe either shut down or they give me a lot of pain, you know, like an intense headache kind of pain, almost migraine-ish, but it's all sort of based on the eyes, and I can tell it's coming from where the eyes are taking in this light.
And how long have you been experiencing that?
Oh, it's been off and on the first time it really hit me was, I'm 51, it was when I was 40. We were driving through Yellowstone, and that sun-dappled light in the morning was going blink, 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 and I was like, wow.
Okay, well, you know, there's a number of possibilities. I can't tell you for sure what's causing that, but I think some people are just more sensitive to certain types of light, like the fluorescent light. You mentioned fluorescent lights. You mentioned the kind of blinking lights. And for some people, this does trigger a migraine or a type of a migraine, which just because of the frequency of the blinking of the lights, fluorescent lights versus regular incandescent lights have a different frequency that they sort of oscillate at or blink at. And some people do respond negatively to these and develop migraines as a result. I don't know if that's the case for you or not, but it is something that we see from time to time. It's not real common, but it happens. The other thing that is more common is that people's eyes become more sensitive to the light because the eyes are dry. Now, when the eyes are dry, that leads to little dry spots on the surface of the eye, and there are a lot of nerves on the surface of the eye. And so this can actually cause more sensitivity, photophobia, which is sensitivity to light, irritation as a result. And so you could try as a simple first step getting a bottle of artificial tear drops from the drugstore and using the artificial tear drops 4 to 6 times a day for a week or two and see if it makes your symptoms any better. If that doesn't help, it's probably not the dry eye. You know, if it helps a little bit, it may be the dry eye. If it doesn't help at all, it's probably not the dry eye as an issue. And then, you know, you can certainly go and get it checked out. But it doesn't sound like anything serious, dangerous, or vision-threatening. But I understand that it's annoying, and I don't know whether there's anything that could be done or not, but certainly worth getting your eyes evaluated.
Great. Yeah, I was wondering if there was any kind of a drops that would be the equivalent of an ibuprofen directly to the eyes, to maybe, because it just feels like it's tight.
Yeah, that's not really going to do it because it's not really the surface of the eye. And so if you had something that would relieve the pain in the eye or numb the eye or something like that, that wouldn't really improve your symptoms. The other thing that's probably happening, which seems to be sometimes the cause of these types of headaches, is that without realizing it, you may be squinting or squeezing your eyes tight, and by tightening or constricting the muscles may be going into a little bit of spasm, and this may be leading to a headache. You know, if our muscles are tightened or in spasm for a length of time, this often leads to headaches, whether it's neck muscles or shoulder muscles or muscles around the eyes. And so this is also a possibility. So wearing sunglasses or tinted glasses or something that helps to cut the glare and reduce the squinting that you're doing may also help to improve your symptoms as well.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks a lot.
Okay, good luck with that.
Okay, take care. Bye.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about diabetes in the eyes and any questions that you might have, so give us a call.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better. Life has never looked better.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost? From paradise, and there were so many ways to go.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. Here we are in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you have a question for us, you can give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call. And Anne called us on the line. And so she's standing by in Honolulu. Hi, Anne. Welcome to the program.
I have glaucoma, and I'm supposed to put my A's up 3 times a day. And I'm just figuring out how can I put down 3 times a day if I have to put it at 8 o'clock, one, and I have to go to a wedding, and the wedding won't be over until about 1:30. By the time I get home, would be about 2:30.
All right, well,
by the time I put on my drops, it would be about 3 o'clock.
What time do you usually put
And when can I put my third drops in?
What times do you usually put your drops in, Ed?
I beg your pardon?
What time do you usually put your drops in? What times of day?
8, 12, and 4.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're putting the drops in 8, 12, and 4, which means you're going from 4 p.m. until 8 a.m. without...
No, just a minute. 8 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
12 o'clock noon.
Right.
And 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. So you're putting them in every 4 hours during the day.
Yes.
8 a.m., noon, and then 4 p.m. And then you're going the whole night from 4 in the morning till 8 the next morning, which is 16 hours without using any drops. So first of all, I'd tell you that you should be spacing the drops out on your regular dosing. You should be spacing them out more so that they're longer distance between drops. Now, ideally, you'd be putting in the drops every 8 hours. So that would be like 8 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and then 10 at night. Now, you may not be up at 10 at night, so you might have to modify that a little bit, but the ideal dosing would be every 8 hours because 3 times a day ends up being every 8 hours if you're spacing it out evenly throughout the day. So what you really want to do when you're applying any kind of eye drops or when you're using medication is to space them out throughout the day as evenly as possible. Now, as possible means what's practical. So if you're going to be away for a wedding and you can't put your middle-of-the-day dose in till a couple of hours later, then you put it in when you can. Or you bring the medicine with you when you go off to the wherever you're going. But what I'd like you to do, Anne, is I'd like you to come up with a new schedule that works for you. And what I'd recommend you do is to use it first thing in the morning when you get up, sometime in the afternoon, about halfway between when you get up and when you go to bed, and then in the evening, either just a little bit before you go to bed or right at bedtime. That way it's spaced out a lot more throughout the day, and you get the maximum benefit. As it is now, if you're using the drops at 8 in the morning, noon, and 4 in the afternoon, there's a long period of time where the drop effect is starting to wear off, and that can, during that time, that period of time between 4 in the afternoon and 8 in the next morning when you get the next drop, then that can be, at that time, your glaucoma can be getting worse or acting up because you're not taking the drop. Does that make sense?
Well, the thing is that I take a night drop also, just once. So what I do is before I get to bed, I put that on.
Yeah, that's fine. So what you want to do is just make sure that any time you're using more than one drop in the eye, you space out the two different drops by about 10 minutes. So you put one drop in at dinner time, then the other drop in at bedtime, or one drop in when you are getting ready for bed and the other drop just before you go to sleep. That way you space them out by more 10 minutes or more, and then you should be all set.
Oh, what? It doesn't, it means for years I've been doing this, 8, 12, and 4, and I haven't missed it because I don't want to get blind.
Well, I think that you'd be helping yourself more by spreading them out better throughout the day. So the 3 times a day has to probably be more spread out than that because you're using them every 4 hours. So if you're using it every 4 hours, then really you'd need to use it 8, noon, 4, and then 8 o'clock, and then midnight, and then 4 in the morning, and then 8 again. That would be every 4 hours. But really, what you want to do is use it throughout the day, 3 times. So
you have to count that between the 12 hours, you mean to say, rotate that for 3 drops, 3 space it for 3 drops?
You want to space them out as much as you can throughout the day. So you want the 1 drop in the morning, 1 drop in the middle of the afternoon, and 1 drop in the evening, so that it's spaced out throughout the day. So 8, 12, and 4 is not the ideal dosing. I know you've been doing that through, you know, for years and years, but I guess it's never come up in the office when you've talked to the doctor or to the assistants what time you're actually using the drop. We generally, in our office, we generally ask people what time they use their last drop or their last medication, so we try to pay attention to that, but sometimes we just go, oh, 3 times a day, and we assume someone is using it the way we think they are, and they may be using it differently. So it's great that you're using the drops regularly, and it's going to help you, but it'll help you even more if you spread them out a little bit through the day. Okay?
Because I get to bed at 6:30. I go to sleep at 6:30, and I rise at 7 o'clock. So by the time I put my first drop for the day, like Azop, at 7 o'clock.
You go to bed at 6 o'clock, and you get up at 7 o'clock, so you sleep for 13 hours every day?
I don't sleep. I can hardly sleep, so that's the reason why I'm in bed at that time.
Okay, well, maybe you ought to go to bed a little later. Maybe you'll sleep more easily if you go to bed a little later. Okay, just try to space them out throughout the day. Put one when you get up, one when you go to bed, and then one somewhere in the middle. Okay, Ann? Good luck with that. And I hope that that works out. So we were talking before about diabetes and how it affects the eyes. And my take-home message there was to make sure that if you have diabetes, that you have your eyes checked on an annual basis. Now, we think that diabetes in the eye is related to how the blood sugar is in the body. If your blood sugar is under good control during the course of, you know, several months, then the likelihood of developing eye problems is significantly less. The effect of the eye problems, or the effect of the blood sugar on the eye problems, tends to lag behind the control of the blood sugar. So people who have been under control for their diabetes for many years are probably in good shape, less likely to develop eye problems. People who had an episode where their blood sugar was poorly controlled, and maybe now it's under good control, are still at higher risk to develop potential eye problems. So everyone who has diabetes, since we don't really know who's going to develop a problem and who isn't, ought to be checked on an annual basis to make sure that the diabetes is not causing problems in the eyes. And if we see early changes in the eyes related to the diabetes, we may very well recommend more frequent examinations to make sure that there is no problem developing over time. Well, we've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, be sure to listen again next week. If you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer your questions over the air. Don't forget to check out our website, www.hawaiianeye.com. You can click on the radio show link and subscribe to a podcast of this program. You can also follow us on Twitter follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and also in Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks so much for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020.
888-382-2020 or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Glenn Beck.
Sending you a message.
Weekdays at 4.
It's all going to be good.
KHVH Honolulu.
I'm here.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.